man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive.
Welcome to the show, folks.
Can survive.
Here on April 18th, 2018, you are tuned into the Trump Phenomenon. I'm James Kelso. The show is live. I'm located in North Dakota. The Republic Broadcasting Network, based in Austin, Texas, where their bricks and mortar studio is located. And that is the location you'll be calling when you dial our call-in number, 800-313-9443. And I hope several of you will call us in our brief hour together tonight as we update ourselves on the Trump phenomenon. Never a dull moment in the Trump phenomenon. One of the things that Donald Trump has had to deal with, and it may be something he has to deal with for the entire remaining 8 years of his, seven more of his presidency, and that is the rhinos. And it's a good, you know, I don't know, which has been more difficult for them and for us, the rhinos or the Democrats? Well, here is a rhino story that came up in the last 24 hours. The Koch brothers, they are running, they're putting, I think, is it seven figures or six figures, millions of dollars into ads that they're making advocating open borders, advocating amnesty. Can you believe it? I mean, what's the best thing to do as an answer to this? How do you answer the Koch brothers? What strategy is there? Or what strategy would be the best, that is? Should they be labeled as traitors? Should they be told that they're Democrats? Should they be run out of the... Should they be utterly discredited as having any position at all on the right? I don't know. What is the right strategy to deal with these people? Pro-mass immigration GOP mega donor billionaires, the Koch brothers, latest ad campaign on amnesty for illegal aliens features the political establishment's longtime unity to continue mass immigration to the United States, despite opposition from you, from the American people. The Koch brothers represent a slew of organizations that purport to be conservative and libertarian-leaning, including Freedom Partners, the Libre Initiative, or Libra Initiative, I don't know how they pronounce it, L-I-B-R-E, Americans for Prosperity, and Generation Opportunity. The billionaires' businesses include Matador Cattle Company, Koch Pipeline, and Guardian Industries. In the Koch brothers' newest seven-figure, yeah, seven, so that would be more than $10 million, or no, that would be more than $1 million. In the Koch brothers' seven-figure ad campaign, the network of organizations ask, what are we waiting for when it comes to the Republican-controlled Congress passing an amnesty that would result in millions of illegal aliens who are enrolled and eligible for the President Obama-created Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, program to permanently stay in the U.S. The ad pushes amnesty by using the words of the Washington, D.C. political establishment, which is unified not only on mass immigration, but also on endless free trade and foreign interventionism. So here, I'll play a little bit of the ad here. I think it's short. Let's listen in.
Our economy is stronger when we harness the talents and ingenuity of striving, hopeful immigrants.
We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws.
America can be a lawful society and a welcoming society at the same time.
There's a bipartisan path forward on immigration that offers a permanent solution for our dreamers and a stronger border. What are we waiting for? Certainty for dreamers and security for everyone.
Ouch. Oh, that's bad, folks. Ah, security for dreamers and what did they say? For everyone?
The economy is stronger when we harness the talents and ingenuity of striving, hopeful immigrants.
So there's Obama.
We are a nation of immigrants.
Here's Bill.
But we are also a nation of laws.
America can be a lawful society and a welcoming society at the same time.
There's a bipartisan path forward on immigration that offers a permanent solution for our dreamers and a stronger border. What are we waiting for? Certainty for dreamers and security for everyone.
There we go. Certainty for dreamers and security for everyone. And then they call Congress and they show then a picture of Schumer and Pelosi and McConnell and Ryan. And Ryan the rat, he has announced that he's going to use his remaining months as the Speaker of the House to try to push through amnesty for dreamers. And of course, there are two categories. There are dreamers and DACA are two separate things, dreamers being an even larger category of people. But both of them completely rubbery and ill-defined and potentially extending out to as many as 30 million people, even more. So there you have it. How do we explain this? The Koch brothers, I've forgotten the first names. There's Charles Koch and is it Robert, the other Koch? But these two guys with billions of dollars, and they claim to be conservatives, and yet they're spending their money to create amnesty for the invaders into America. Our economy, well, let's see, I'll skip through this. The plan by the Koch brothers to lobby the Trump administration and the Republican-controlled Congress to pass an amnesty ahead of the 2018 midterm elections is a strategic political move for the billionaires, in order to prevent Trump and like-minded Republicans from running campaigns against cheap foreign labor and mass immigration. A push for amnesty ahead of the 2018 midterm elections is deeply unpopular with Republican voters. As Breitbart News most recently reported, reducing overall immigration, whereby more than 1.5 million illegal and legal immigrants enter the country every year, and put the emphasis there on more than, to compete for working and middle-class jobs against Americans is a bigger priority for GOP voters than tax cuts, repealing Obamacare, getting the U.S. out of the Iran deal, destroying ISIS, or expanding family leave. The Koch brothers, along with House Speaker Paul Ryan and a number of White House aides like former Never Trump movement leader and Koch employee, Legislative Affairs Director Mark Short, have sought to make the 2018 midterm elections centered around an agenda of tax reform and cuts to entitlements rather than Trump's wage-boosting immigration reduction agenda. Now, let me just pause right there, folks, and notice that Breitbart is a coherent news site that's delivering a point of view. I mean, they understand. It's not just news at Breitbart. Yes, it's, what do they say? war by other means? That's what the media are today. It's war by other means. Breitbart recognizes that, and they're waging the war. So they've been covering, yesterday we talked about how Breitbart is uncovering people like Legislative Affairs Director Mark Short. These are never Trumpers. These are deep state people who have managed to insinuate themselves into the Trump administration. And Breitbart is after these people. It's exposing them. They work that into this story. Amnesty, although beneficial to illegal aliens, comes at the expense of American citizens. Now, see, that's not just, that is straight up, that is factual right there. So you could call that straight up news reporting. But it's also advocacy, and it's advocacy on our behalf. And that's the way to go. Granting an amnesty would cost taxpayers at least $26 billion. Well, I would say times 10 that and more, because amnesty and immigration invasion are, what is the time frame of an immigration invasion? Forever. All the millions of people that get in will be more millions of people. How long? Forever. So how do you put a price tag on that? How do you put a price tag on the change of America from a majority white nation to a minority white nation? What's the cash value of that? It's a lot more than $26 billion. It's a lot more than $260 billion. It's more than, listen, it's more than $260 trillion, meaning there's no price on it. Losing your nation is like, what do you put? What's the price for you of losing your life? How much cash would you take to lose your life? All the money in the world is insufficient. So that's the deal. Additionally, about one in five DACA illegal aliens after an amnesty would end up on food stamps, while at least one in seven would go on Medicaid, the Congressional Budget Office has estimated. Any plan to give amnesty to DACA illegal aliens that does not also include provisions to have legal immigration levels, to have, as in H-A-L-V-E, would give amnesty to illegal aliens the opportunity to bring an unlimited number of foreign relatives to the country. This is one thing creative that Rand Paul has advocated. Rand Paul has said, if any group of people, DACA or otherwise, is given any kind of a free pass, an amnesty of any kind, those people must be subtracted from an annual immigration limit as being using up that limit. So if we have an annual immigration limit of, let's make up a number here, 500,000. That's too many. But let's say we set it at 500,000. If 250,000 DACAs or Dreamers or any other group are given admission to the U.S., legal admission to the U.S., that's 250,000 of the quota gone. So that the DACAs, the Dreamers, or any other group do not get added on to anything, so that we need a ceiling. I think I might hear Paul Fromm in the conversation here. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I've had been involved in a move, so I've been out of touch with all sorts of problems for a couple of days. That might be a possible solution. Although the numbers are just so high, if these Dreamers or Schemers or whoever what they are, if they are to be allowed to stay, or most of them, then there must be virtually no immigration for the next 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So if that choice were put to the immigration lobby, now, what do you want? Do you want to make these people your choice, or do you want to keep more people coming from overseas? But it can't be an add-on, and that's a very good point.
Yeah. And that's the way everything, all immigration policies up to this date, folks, they have violated a fundamental principle of American traditional immigration policy, which is wonderful. It was called, was written by Madison Grant, who is my sixth cousin. Madison Grant wrote it for President Calvin Coolidge. It was called the Quota Act.
Yes.
And it set a quota, an annual, I think the limit was 125,000 people. That was the limit of total number of people that could be brought into the United States. And then among that 125,000, I may be misremembering a little bit on the thousands there, there was a quota as to how many Swedes, how many Italians, how many Frenchmen, how many Russians. There were quotas.
And the genius of that act was this. First of all, it set an overall quota, which was, I believe, based, and I might be wrong here, but based on the economic needs of that year.
Paul, Madison Grant wrote it this way. It came out in two versions, and in the first version, he used the population in both versions. He used the existing population ratios of America, the existing ethnic proportions of America. So he said, our immigration must keep the ethnic balance of America intact. If we let more people in, they must be of the same composition as our existing population. And then he improved it. He backdated it in the second edition to, it was either 1890 or 1880. And he said, the quotas must reflect the American ethnic mix of 1890. So if, let's say, America at that time was 25% Anglo-English, then 25% of the quota would be from England and the United Kingdom. If 10% of America was German, then 10% of the quota would be German, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that was brilliant, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, the genius of that was it's a double quota. So each year, I believe it would be Congress would decide how many people can we comfortably bring in, and that would normally be tied to economic needs. So if there's high unemployment, we probably don't need anybody. That's the big quota. Then that quota was divided, as you say, in such a way that the ethnic balance as reflected in the census of 1890 would not be upset. We have to do something like that today. It wouldn't be exactly the same for the U.S., but my good friend Dr. James Sears in Canada says he recommends what's called the 95 and 5. 95% of the population should be the European founding settler people plus the native people, the Indians or Eskimos or whatever. The other 5% can be from other races. Well, what's happened is, of course, we're now up to about 20% from other races. So ongoing immigration policy would have to see that they would there'd be very few of them coming in each year for a long time. It's just to maintain our dominance. And there's nothing wrong with not wanting to lose control.
Yeah, and the moral high ground that Madison Grant seized and that Calvin Coolidge seized and that the Senate and House endorsed when they passed the Quota Act of 1920 that was passed, followed by an Immigration Act of 1924 that expanded on the whole thing. And that worked. People don't understand. They don't believe this. They don't know it because the mass media won't tell them. That was our immigration policy enforced strictly from 1920 until 1965, a 45-year stretch of complete success as an immigration policy. Not a lot of money was spent on it. It wasn't a massive program. You didn't hear about it. It was just good law. And the result was, get this, if you think this is impossible, if you think there is an inevitability to the decline of the white race, it's just inevitable. How can we maintain ourselves? Well, from 1920 to 1965, the percentage of white people in America, are you ready for this? Went up. That's right. It went up. We'll talk about that right after this break. We'll take some phone calls. Stay tuned.
Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way.
Welcome back.
And what I live for, the chance to
Andy,
and be everything I
talking about immigration, and I'm going to shift off of that for just a moment, but you heard the ad for the American Freedom Party there in the break, and that ad really keyed off of just exactly the ideas Paul and I were discussing about maintaining. This was the great idea that Madison Grant, and maybe our last great president before Donald Trump, Calvin Coolidge, this was normal in that time. Madison Grant was a very well-known academic, cousin of mine. Coolidge, also a cousin of mine. Coolidge, a very conservative president. And it was politically correct in 1920, coming out of the Harding administration. Also, Warren Gamaliel Harding, sorry to say, folks, also a cousin. He was a very good president with very good sensibility on maintaining our ethnic balance in America. And that was moral high ground for Madison Grant to say, hey, look, folks, all I'm saying is this. Right now we're 60% this, 30% that, 20% this, 10% this, 5% this. Let's keep our percentages the same. We're not discriminating against anybody. Whatever you are, as an ethnic group in America now, we'll preserve that. we'll keep that. And but we have a right to keep the balance, what do they say in medicine? The homeostasis, the stability of our society in perpetuity. Immigration should not be a weapon that changes, that fundamentally transforms and upends our civilization. If that's what immigration is going to be, then what's the answer? Hey, no immigration, folks. I don't need any of that. I mean, ask yourself the question, make fundamental questions here. Is immigration a right? Is immigration just a fact of nature? You have to have immigration. Do you have immigration into your house where you live? Do people immigrate in there and import themselves at their on their own choosing? Do people come into your home and say, "Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I'm your kid now," or I'm your boarder here in your other bedroom. What's for dinner? You don't allow that. That's insane, isn't it? Well, but that's how our country is run. It's insane that people just hoist themselves into our country, just invade our country, and that's somehow okay. We don't need any immigrants. All the discussion of, oh, immigration is needed for jobs. BS. Immigration is not needed for anything. It's not needed for employment. It's not needed for factories or jobs or inspiration or, Chinese cooking, Thai cooking, Cambodian cooking. You don't need Mongolian barbecues with whatever the hell Mongolians eat. You don't need that. You don't need diversity. You don't need richness. Your world, Mr. and Mrs. European American, is not boring. It doesn't need sexing up or spicing up with Mongolian barbecues, which come with Mongolians. No. Your country, your history, your heritage is plenty rich enough. It's yours, and you're entitled to it in perpetuity. So Madison Grant's premise, Calvin Coolidge's premise, Warren G. Harding's premise, and folks, look, whatever your feelings are, whatever you think right now, I guarantee, I promise you that your great-grandparents agreed with Grant, Coolidge, and Harding. I promise you. And with Edison, and with Ford, and with Lindbergh. Because guess what? In those generations, which are not long ago, everybody agreed on these things. There were no advocates for open borders in 1880, 90, 1900, 1920. Nobody, except a few whack jobs, advocated for open borders. And we didn't have open borders. And as I said, you may find it hard to believe, but check it out. From 1920 to 1965, did the browning of the world or the browning of America occur? No. The white percentage of Americans went from about 90% in 1920 to 91% in 1965. Small increase, but the important thing is not that it was a big increase. It was what they in medicine called homeostasis, which is, your blood chemistry is stable. Your blood sugar is stable. Your blood pressure is stable. That's called homeostasis. And we had homeostasis. America was a stable nation. And, Paul, when we were kids, that stability that we had grown up in and that our parents had grown up in and our grandparents, we took it for granted, did we not? We assumed that would last forever. And that was a big mistake. 1965, the slide down began. We'll be back right after this break. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part. Party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
We're back, folks. Thanks for tuning us in, talking a little bit about immigration at the opening here. And I'm going to shift over to an exciting thing coming up on April 28th. Two exciting things. That's the American Renaissance Conference at Montgomery Bell State Park, just west of Nashville, and Tennessee. But also on that day, April 28th, Donald Trump is going to do something exciting, something he did last year. Every year, there is something called the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And this is a big deal. All of the A-list of everybody among the press are there. And they think they're oh so funny. And they do roasting jokes about each other and so on. But it's basically a love fest of the establishment. And Donald Trump did something last year that no other president has done. He's going to do it again this year on April 28th. He's saying, to hell with your White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm not coming. And what Donald Trump realized last year is that turned what would have been a premier event into a dog. No one wanted to tune it in. It was stupid. And what Trump did last year, he's going to do again this year. He's going to stage his own counter rally, which will in fact have our eyeballs glued to it. In this case, he's going to Michigan to hold one of his great rallies in a town called Washington, Michigan. I don't know where that is exactly in Michigan. Maybe a caller can let us know and can even be at the event and report back to us. But we'll carry it live here on this show. Well, not live, but we'll carry it on our Sunday show. So Donald Trump will be doing that coming this April 28th. And let me just, to close out the immigration question, you know, in keeping our nation, keeping it as a family, the people that I mentioned in setting our immigration policy, which I'm saying, all your grandparents, certainly all of your great-grandparents, but most of your grandparents believed in everything I say and everything I'm talking about. It was, everybody believed in it. This was common sense. Well, furthermore, it's not like it was a belief system. It was just using your brain. It was common sense. And common sense prevailed in America from 1920 to 1965. The people who pervade such common sense, I mentioned Madison Grant. Well, is it a family thing, what we've done here in America? Well, he's my seventh cousin. The first president he wrote his quota act for, Warren Gamaliel Harding, he's my sixth cousin. The second president that Madison Grant wrote the Immigration Act for, and he wrote it. Madison Grant, a great scientist, wrote it, social scientist. Calvin Coolidge is my 12th cousin. And someone who was advocating for this kind of common sense, two people named Charles Lindbergh, were my 21st and 22nd cousins, respectively. So we're all cousins. We are, in fact, folks, all family. And that's all that a common sense immigration policy recognizes, is that we are. America is a big family. It was, and that's what it needs to remain.
It should be remembered that both in Canada and the United States that when our immigration policies changed in 1965, there was no mass agitation for it. In fact, it was snuck in both countries, very little discussion, and there was no demand. People weren't in the streets saying, you know, we're so sick and tired and bored being overwhelmingly European country. We just want some of that their diversity. We want some rapists coming up from Mexico and some murderers and thieves, and that's what we want. Nobody was agitating for it. I mean, publicly, behind the scenes, of course, there was a force, and Professor Kevin McDonald points that out in both in Canada, the United States, and Australia, the major force agitating for a change was the Jewish lobby for reasons that complicated, but we changed, yes, without the people's consent. People didn't say, you know, we'd like to change this. And they didn't realize, I think the people who changed it may have realized, but when it was changed, at first people didn't see a lot of difference. They didn't realize what was happening until bang, you know.
They didn't even know that anything had happened. The sponsors of the bill were a Jewish guy, Emanuel Seller, in the House. And in the Senate, the sponsor of the amendments to the Immigration Act of 1965 was the lifeguard of Chappaquiddick, Ted Kennedy. those two, and apparently this new movie, Chappaquiddick, is awfully good because it's somewhat factual. So apparently I've been urged and everybody's being urged to watch Chappaquiddick. It really shows what a dirtball Ted Kennedy was. What was going on in 1965? America never knew what had happened. It was war by way of deception.
Yes.
It was war by way of deception. Now, that quote, to make war by way of deception, is the motto of a famous organization, Mossad,
yes,
in Israel. That is the motto of the organization, to make war by deception. Think about that. Let that phrase sink in. And imagine an organization whose motto, it's their emblem, you know, that they proudly wear, to make war by deception. And that's really the name of the game. of the 20th and 21st centuries. That's what's been going on. The knife's been slipped in without you even feeling it. And then after the fact, you know, when all these DACAs are already here, now it's boo-hoo. Oh, these are good people. No, they're not. You know, these are children. No, they're not. And on and on and on. The you know, after the deed is done, then they work on your sympathy. You can't be mean and tell these people to go back to the country from whence they came. Wait a minute. Their mother, the illegal alien, she had the baby at Los Angeles County Hospital. So you can't send that baby back to Mexico. It wasn't born in Mexico. It was born in L.A. County. Well, yes, we can. Every other nation on earth. There's a couple exceptions. I'm sorry to hear. Maybe Canada's in this group.
Yes,
Paul.
Canada's a stupid exception.
Every other nation says, you know, Mrs. Mexico, you and your husband, Mr. Mexico, had a baby while you were stopped in Osaka, Japan. And guess what? Both you and the baby are going back to Mexico. And no, you know, Pedro did not become a Japanese when you had him in Tokyo General Hospital. He's still a Mexican. You know, the Japanese are not so stupid as we are to entertain such a dumb thought that if you have a baby while you're, and not only, it's even worse than like you're on a trip, let's say you actually are legally in Japan with a tourist visa and you have your baby there. At least you're there legally. They don't recognize that as Japanese citizenship. But in this case of illegals, it's even worse. They broke the law. It's a felony to enter the United States without permission. That's not a misdemeanor. It's a felony. So both mom and dad are felons. And so we should somehow consecrate this crime by giving their child a reward. What's American citizenship worth, folks? How many millions of dollars? You can't put a price on it. How much is it worth to Mr. and Mrs. Mexico who had the baby and who are the felons? Well, that becomes their, what do they call it? It's their anchor baby. And now they're Americans just like you. And it doesn't matter where they come from. Somalians, Nigerians, you know, wherever they are from, whoever they are, this is stupid, folks. And by the way, this is one of the things I think Donald Trump is the man, the president, who's got what it takes to address this question, this stupid question of birthright citizenship. That's the heading. It's called birthright citizenship. It's based entirely upon a bogus interpretation of the 14th Amendment, an interpretation that does not comport with a single sentence written by a single person who was involved in the drafting of the 14th Amendment or its ratification by the required number of states. Not one of the people who voted for that ratification ever said the words, "This gives people who happen to be in this country citizenship if they have a baby here. Their baby gets citizenship." No one ever said anything about birthright citizenship. It's entirely, by the way, Paul, this is another case of war by deception. To make war by deception. The American people were simply deceived. You were lied to by your media, by your universities, who said, well, yeah, of course, birthright citizenship. Of course you have birthright citizenship. What do you think? No, that was a deception worked upon you. And how easily can it be undone? This is one of those things where Donald Trump could take out his pen, write an executive. I think he could write an executive order saying, being born in the United States does not make you a citizen. Automatically does not make you. I think he could do it with a pen, with a memo, with an executive order. Congress, certainly, there's no question, Congress can, with a majority, simple majority vote, and the Republicans have a majority in both the Senate and the House, they could pass a bill tomorrow that said there is no birthright citizenship in America. If you are the child of aliens born while within the borders of the United States, that child is a like alien. That would take just an act of Congress and the Senate. And folks, America wants that. If it were put up to a vote of the American people, especially the white American people, it would pass overwhelmingly. That's been our sentiment and our wish all along. So it's just been a big con job on us. But Trump's the man who, and we have had indications, there are things that he has said about the 14th Amendment, about birthright citizenship. He has, his phraseology, he has shown he's aware of the fraud of birthright citizenship, that he does not agree with it. This is not the moment for him to strike on this, because he's pinned down by the assaults that have been launched on him in his first year. But if he gets some breathing room in an upcoming year, he may actually tackle Paul and raise the question. You know, he might put some tweets out to get this debate going among Americans. Hey, birthright citizenship. Hey, folks, this is stupid, don't you think? He might get the ball rolling, Paul.
That would be a good idea. You know, another issue that's come up that I think bears some watching is the complete panic response of the CEO of Starbucks, Kevin Johnson. You know, there's that incident in Philadelphia last week where two Negroes were arrested by police for trespassing in a Starbucks. They were loitering around waiting for somebody. The manager called the police. Now, the police may have overreacted, and I mean, perhaps simply removing them would have been sufficient. But the Starbucks in late May is going to have a whole all stores will close, and there'll be a whole afternoon to anti-racism education. Let's be quite clear, that is anti-white brainwashing. I've for years seen Starbucks as a very hostile company. They're the ones who push the militant LGBTQ XYZ agenda. They're militantly pro-Israel, and they've announced that worldwide they're going to hire 10,000 refugees. They are not our friends, and I suggest to anybody, if you like to get your caffeine poison at Starbucks, you might want to think again.
Yeah, I saw the headline here on Breitbart. I think it was 3,000 stores are going to close. Maybe it was more than that. Oh, here it is. Starbucks to close 8,000 U.S. locations for racial bias training.
And it's going to cost them $20 million. Now, you know, okay, but if I were a shareholder, I'd be furious. You know, this shows the power of this poisonous ideology. Instead of simply, and the manager who called the police, he is, quote, no longer with the company. Duh, I think they fired him. And I understand in a bad area, many stores don't want people loitering about. Yeah, you know, and somebody said, well, I saw a white man and he was allowed to use the washroom even though he wasn't buying anything. And the thing is, probably a middle-aged white fellow in a suit isn't going to do something naughty in the washroom,
yes,
like maybe do a drug deal or something.
Yes, coffee shops and bookstores have had this problem with people who simply, they bring a sleeping roll with them and they camp out on the floor and they live there. You have to, this is private property. They have to have some control over their own property. Now, get this. The company, Starbucks, said that 175,000 workers would receive this training. This is on May 29th, an afternoon of training. It will be designed by former Obama administration attorney general Eric Holder.
Who's a white hater of the first order.
Yeah, others designing it will be NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund President Sherilyn Ifill and Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt.
Is there any person who represents the interests of white people, perhaps Representative Dr. David Duke?
The company's announcement comes after employees at a Philadelphia Starbucks called the police on two black men Saturday, leading to their arrest for trespassing. A video of the encounter went viral on social media. So a company spokesman said they met with the two men Monday and apologized, and the manager who called the police is no longer at that store. There you go, folks. That's political correctness run amok. And in this era of Donald Trump and political uncorrectness, hopefully this will backfire. It will, in the year of the boomerang on Starbucks, their business will go down. And as the who's this guy, this kid who started the boycott of Laura Ingraham, it backfired. It boomeranged. Laura Ingraham's traffic as a talk show host on Fox went up in the month following this effort by, what's that idiot's name? I can't remember his name.
Oh, that kid from Florida.
Yeah. The may we all, hopefully that name may fade from the memory of all of us. The sooner the better. It's I've lost it. But her traffic, yeah, her traffic went up 20%, folks. So nice try, young fella. We'll be right back.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When this war is over,
we're back, folks. Unfortunately, this is our last segment in our brief hour together. I made a mention earlier in the show about two events coming up, a number of events. Donald Trump on April 28th, that's a Saturday, he will be in Washington Township, Michigan. Population 25,000, demographics 95% white. And I assure you the entire township will be out in support of Donald Trump. He will be there boycotting the White House Correspondents Association dinner, that will be held the same night. It's going to be wonderful to see Donald Trump trounce that dinner with their ratings. That same night, Saturday, will also be the principal speaker's night and day. It'll be the banquet night of the American Renaissance Conference. And there's a great thing coming up, April 27, 28, and 29. I'll be there, by the way. Other people that will be there will be Marcus Follin. This is a new name for me. The Defense of the West Begins with You, Adrian Davies. You know him very well, Paul. He will be there from Britain, a London barrister. Nick Fuentes, Generation Z, the answer to the boomer problem. Oh, I don't know. Paul, are we a problem? Simon Roach.
Certainly not more.
Simon Roach, my good friend from South Africa. He will have a speech entitled Arise. Serge Trifkovic will be there. Jared Taylor, of course, he's the host of the whole event. Douglas Whitman, a retired professor of biology at Illinois State University, and Sam Dixon. They'll all be there. That's a great lineup. We've got another great lineup, June 15, 16, and 17, the same location, Montgomery Bell State Park, west of Nashville, Tennessee. The American Freedom Party in collusion with the Council of Conservative Citizens. We will bring you Dr. Kevin MacDonald, Dr. Adrian Krieg, Dr. Virginia Abernethy, William Johnson, chairman of the AFP, Earl Holt, chairman of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and James Edwards. That's a very, very nice lineup. I'm the director of the event. So if you want to get there or you want any information about it, get tickets. Are we getting carpooling going? What are we doing? Can we put five people in a room? Yes, you can. Call me at 701-317-5317. 701-317-5317. My phone has been lighting up. I've been getting calls from all over the country. Very exciting. Let me tell you, I can't share who will be there. It's some exciting attendees will be there. You will really want to meet some of these people that are driving and flying from all over the country to be at this June 15, 16, and 17 event. Great security, wonderful rooms, all in the same building, great food, Tennessee prices, you know, all of it very reasonable, and an excellent event. So call me. You can also go to our website, theamericanfreedomparty.us. You'll see a link there to the event. You can also go to conservative-headlines.org, conservative-headlines.org, which is the Council of Conservative Citizens website, and you can find the same exact same link there. Well, we're running out of time. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everybody, for being with us, and we'll continue the conversation tomorrow night. See you there.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.